Coming to the greater Green Bay area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. WGBW, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM.
Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. I was just telling Rich the story about my parking ticket for $22.
Okay.
So Christy here gives me underground parking.
Yeah.
And what do I do?
Yeah.
Hit a pillar that jumped out in front of me. Mm-hmm. $4,200 is my estimate.
Can you believe that? But get this, Ben. I just want to explain. Our listeners have heard this, but you haven't, so I want to explain this to you. Johnny, and I know where he parked, and anybody could, you could get an SUV in there. It's plenty of room, but, you know, he's not a very good driver. And when we go anywhere, I drive. But anyway.
That is true. I sit amongst his dog, Slobber.
Well, I don't know if the slobber on the dash is from my dog or John, but there is slobber on the dash. I will admit that. But anyway. So Johnny he's just whining about this parking ticket. Like every day it's like, okay, John, we know. But the lady's like, okay, I don't want you to bash the downtown. Let me give you a parking spot in this garage there's pillars, right? It's in-ground parking, underground parking, I should say. So Johnny parks there and I was in his car and I looked at that. I was like, this is nice. You know, I have to park outside and pay. But, you know, John whined enough to get his own underground parking place for free, by the way. And I pay for my parking outside. But so John backs up and scratches his car. I'm like, oh, that's too bad, man. He goes, how much do you think that's going to cost? I said, I don't know. Probably, you know, it's going to be expensive, $400 or $500. He shows me his car. The scratch is like 4.5 feet long. Like most people, if they heard something, they would stop. He scratches from the back door to the driver's door to the bumper. So the fact that he's whining about $4,200, 90% of that's self-inflicted. Anyway, so that's the end of my pitch with, okay, we're going to get on to something a lot more important than.
The bottom line, though, none of this would have happened if it hadn't been for somebody who actually went to the bank and got how many dollars worth of quarters did you get?
Like $200.
$200 worth of quarters. So nobody would get a ticket here. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He says, hey, I'm going to go fill your meter. Okay, no, we're good. He doesn't do it.
That's not true.
That is true.
Let me just finish that story because that's Johnny has a way of leaving out information, which is not a lie, but it's not. I said, John, I'm going to go put money in the meters. He goes, okay, really, I'm leaving right now. I got
to
get out of here.
I said I had to go I had to stop in the next door to us.
I got to go. He kept saying that. I got to go. So I put a quarter in his and two quarters in mine. So I had 32 minutes. He had 16 minutes. And he went out in 20 minutes and he had a ticket. So I don't think it's really my fault. Anyway,
let's move on.
Ben, thank you for
dealing
being
with
here.
A politician is unbelievable. So anyway, we got Rich Heidel, village president of Hobart here. Rich is very huge with the Veterans Court, faces his transgressions in the past and whatever. But Ben is the mentee. Ben, I'm going to back up here, and during the entire break, we're talking about your football career and all the people we both know that you guys played with, because you were a football player at Notre Dame High School, and then 9/11 happened, and just take it from there, if you don't mind, a little synopsis of from 9/11 over the next few years.
Sure. I was in high school, graduated in 2001 from Notre Dame High School, went to boot camp. Out in
Marines.
Yep, Marine Corps. Out in San Diego.
Yellow footprints.
Hollywood Marine is what they call us out there. In the middle of the boot camp, 9/11 happened. So I was out on the rifle range, and they came over and told us about what happened, and we kind of didn't think it was real. We thought they were messing with us again, playing mind games with us. But they took us underground into a couple bunkers, showed us the videos of the planes hitting the towers, and then we knew like stuff was real at that point, especially when the bread trucks weren't allowed to get onto the base anymore, and then there was a battleship out in the ocean spotlighting the whole base. So it was very real at that point.
Did you know right then and there you guys were going?
Yeah. They told us, and we were pretty jacked up to go.
I was going to say, that must have been like,
It was
like,
adrenaline rush.
Bring them on.
It was just like, let's go. You know,
so. That's great. I love hearing those stories.
I will say this. You know, I got to, the Marines recruiters had me come out one time to San Diego to video for a recruiting video, basically. And they had me right at the footprints when those young guys get off the bus.
You bet.
And I've never seen a human being's world change in the span of about 24 hours like these young men. Their worlds change. But then when I was talking with some of the guys, I know I was there for the Crucible and the graduation and everything like that.
Sure.
And you want to talk about goosebumps, Jim. And I was only there for a week, but I got to see, you know, the different countries. And these DIs were just vicious. Just how they're in their faces, like you can't even believe.
Oh, yeah.
And it, but then at the end, when they're shaking these guys' hands and they're saying, I'm so proud of you. And the reason I was so hard on you was because I knew it was, I had to pull it out of you and giving them the globe and anchor and everything. I've got goosebumps. Honest, right now, it was the most inspiring thing. It would almost bring tears to your eyes. And you want to talk about a bunch of guys that will run through that wall and go to war?
You bet.
That's what those Marines were.
You bet. Yeah. You hit the nail right on the head on that one there.
Yeah.
It was a good time. Boot camp was a lot of fun. You know, you didn't know what was going on, but you just did what you were told.
That was such a lie what he just said.
it was. and then I ended up getting stationed out in 29 Palms with 3rd LER, 3rd Light Armored Recon, 29 Palms. I was a diesel mechanic on LAVs, light armored vehicles, and we went to war.
Can I just say one thing about that? The term armored is kind of a misnomer because they're not really heavily armored, are they?
They got metal, you know. No, they're not. They're not bad.
Some people called them a rolling beer can.
Yeah, yeah. We were very good mechanics on them. We used to juice them up to about 75 through the sand. One of the fastest moving vehicles in the Marine Corps. We did a lot of things when we were over there the first time. Went there for 4 months.
Explain that one. You guys were right at the very beginning, right?
Correct.
The first invasion?
Correct. Yeah, we were called Tip of the Spear. So they let us through the gates, and off we went to Baghdad. That was the main mission, was to get right to Baghdad.
Wow.
So we did that.
Was it Highway 10?
I believe so.
The Highway of Death, they called it from the first.
Yep, pretty much. Okay. At that time, we were just, which way are we going now?
Right.
You know, so, you know, a brand new country and everything else like that. It was, you know, everybody always asked, they said, how was it going to the desert like that? I'm like, well, I was stationed in 29 Palms in the middle of Mojave Desert. It was just one hot place to another hot place, drinking hot water or wherever you go. It didn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, I dropped about 40 pounds the first time I was there. The second time I got deployed, it was about 9 months later. We went back, and I think I gained about 20 pounds when I was there because the Army was there with us that time, so that was kind of nice. They brought all their food trucks and all the good gunk.
I have to be honest with you. The first time I was in Iraq, I think it was there 10 days, okay?
Sure.
And I put on like 5 pounds.
Really?
Because the food is so good. Yep. And they have like midnight snack, they call it, in the mess hall where it's Sundays and cheeseburgers. And Army eats well.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They never know when your last meal is going to be, so that's why you eat a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible, the food they had over there. So did your service, did your tour.
Sure did.
Probably didn't want any more to do with Iraq after that.
No, but I was pretty much done. They didn't offer very much for a reenlistment bonus at that time. Otherwise, I probably would have signed the papers again because I missed the Marine Corps a lot. You know, I still do every day. I miss my boys probably the most.
I was going to say, that's a brotherhood that's unmatched.
It's unbelievable. We've had a number of...
Why don't you go ahead and swallow your cookie there first, Jim?
Sorry, man.
How's the diet coming on?
Does he have to say that? I am eating a chocolate-covered pretzel, which I shouldn't, but somebody brought those in, and I want to be honored for this. But we've had a number of Marines on here, and military people, I should say. And boy, did that brotherhood mean a lot to them and to you. I think that's like awesome.
It does. There's a saying, once a Marine, always a Marine. Yeah. So you never stop being one, ever. Yeah. So, you know, you see a Marine down, you always pick them up, always help them out. You know, and that's our motto.
So can you give a little background of your personal story once you got out then? And
Sure.
How you ended up right here today?
Yeah. I got out. I started to be a carpenter. I was working for Selmer Construction when they were still in business here. I don't think they're in business anymore, but I was there for a while. Never really addressed anything that happened when I was over in Iraq, and that was kind of one of the biggest things that happened to me. And I was, you know, casually drinking heavily, drinking at points, and just never really addressed anything. Had gotten into some trouble, had gotten about 3 DUIs. And then how I ended up here years later, It was about 12 years from my third one to my last one.
Can I ask you one quick question? Did you think in the back of your mind that drinking would make those things go away?
I tried. You know, it was just, it was, I didn't want to sleep at night. I just couldn't shut it off. And I didn't have any other solution for it. You know, I tried talking a couple times. I didn't like it. I didn't want to do groups. I didn't want to, you know, you try to look for something, and it just wasn't up my alley the way I wanted it to be.
It's not for everybody. You have to be receptive to embracing that. And if you don't, everybody's different.
It could be a proud thing, too. Yeah. You know, I'm also, you know, being a Marine, I'm like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with
me. You just hit the nail on the head. I know so many guys that's it. You're trained to be one of the toughest people on the face of the earth, and you don't want to show a sign of what you perceive as a weakness to other people. True?
Correct. You know, I went through a divorce at that time as well. I'm not saying it for an excuse or anything else like that at all, but I was going through some things mentally and stuff like that, and it just came to a breaking point and picked up my fourth DUI.
All right. Did you do time?
I did about 10 days inside, and that was about it. And then I got into court and signed up for the Veterans Court.
And tell me that process. So you're obviously a veteran.
Sure.
Explain to us. And then you went to court. Did you have an option, or did you apply? Or tell me, and then I want to hear the process, but tell me how you got into the Veterans Treatment Court program.
I tried going with the lawyer first and seeing what we could do with the lawyer. And that just wasn't getting anywhere at all. We didn't have any really good options. And I had a lot of... I know a lot of veterans in the community and stuff, and they said, hey, what about this program here? Why don't you try it out and check it out? So I made a couple phone calls over at the Green Bay Vet Center.
On Ashland. Scott Katzka?
Yep.
Wonderful place.
Yep.
Fantastic place.
I was actually a work study there, so no I had
kidding.
Some connections there.
Great guy.
Like that. Yep. Very good people over there.
Yep.
And I called over there, and they said, hey, get involved with the Veterans Treatment Court. And so I made a couple phone calls. And they got back with me and accepted me through the program, and I just told the judge, and away I went.
And Rich is your right-hand man.
You bet.
He's your wingman. He's got your
you
six.
You bet.
We got to continue this, Ben. Fascinating story. We're going to send a quick break. Mind of the Mayor, back right after this. Jerry Reed, when you're hot, you're hot. And ironically, even though it's Trucker Thursday and Todd isn't giving us the trucker songs we requested.
Because there aren't any.
Jerry Reed was in, I believe, Convoy, wasn't he, Todd?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you're right. Smokey and the Bandit. Did you know that, Jim?
No.
Have you ever seen a movie in your life? Did you ever watch a movie in the 70s? What did you do in Two Rivers besides take care of your Shetland pony? He had a Shetland pony. Can you believe that?
I did.
Shetland pony star.
Star. Anyway, Ben.
Yes, Ben. Very, very insightful. So, and what we want to know, you had the four DUIs, but you have a full-time job. You're doing well on the road to recovery. Rich has helped you through the Veterans Court. Where are you now, and how has this benefited you? And if anybody out there is listening that knows somebody that could have been in the situation you were in or Rich was in, or a lot of us, you know, are right around that area, go ahead and tell us where you are right now from where you were.
A lot better space. I'm married now.
Oh, awesome.
Married to my beautiful wife, Tara.
All right.
From about a year ago, bought a new house, brand new beginnings, just new outlook on life. And you know, going through the program, it is what you make it.
Right.
So if you want it to be bad, it's going to suck for you. If you want to work at it and work the program, it's going to work for you. Everybody there is there to help you.
Right.
And that's what I didn't understand when I first got there. I was very hesitant about opening up. And that's the biggest thing, is opening up, admitting that you have a problem, and then talking about about some of the things that you have issues with. And I think that was the biggest thing for me, was trying to open up and talk. It took them a while to get it out of me, but they all worked very hard at it, and they have a system in it, and it works.
So with that, Ben, I don't know if I'd call it counseling. It's the mentorship, right?
And correct.
I'm never crazy about the word mentor, mentee. And like Rich said earlier, we're partners and we're working right together. And I think that's the better terminology. Do you meet often? Is it the phone call away? Tell me a little bit about the support that you're getting from Rich Heidel and from the drug court in general.
During the program, it was once a week we would meet. So we would meet for lunch once a week. He'd swing by Helron and pick me up, and we go get lunch someplace and just talk. For me, that was a huge thing, just for the fact that we were both veterans. For veterans, this is a great program because you can relate to somebody. If right. I go to like some other program and I try talking to somebody else about it, they're not going to understand some yeah. of the things I've been through. They're not going to understand the feelings that I have or my opinion on certain things. We may not agree on everything all the time,
right?
Politician wise right. and everything, you know, but we do agree on a lot of things about the way the military system is, and we have a certain bond between the two of us.
And you talked about earlier how one of the biggest things you missed was the brotherhood. And it's nice that you didn't get, I don't know, that you didn't get lined up with some climate right. control. You know what I mean? Like, right. really, I mean, there's right. those great people. Exactly. Out there. I'm just saying that,
right.
look, there's kindred spirits in this world. And you found one with Rich Heidel and obviously with you. So can I just ask, what was the alternative had you not entered?
That's actually a really good question.
The drug treatment program with Rich Heidel and that team.
I don't even know what
was the judge kind of looking at a little more time or a fine?
I don't know if it was time. It was probably time, a little time on the bracelet, probably.
Yeah, right?
And then more, it would have been like their counseling.
And not getting out and maybe being yeah. right back.
Right, right. Yeah. Not getting the help I needed.
The alternative would have been time in the Gray Bar Hotel. That's for yeah. sure. Yeah. So the trade-off is in the vets treatment court, the stay at the Gray Bar Hotel isn't on the horizon. However, the trade-off is, though, that you will now subject yourself to maybe up to as much as 2 years worth of everything from frequent court appearances to random urine samples to meeting with your mentor and various other projects that the treatment court judge may dish out. So it's a very rigorous, strenuous program.
The alternative.
Yeah.
But you're okay with what you're doing now, Ben. I mean, it's working. Because it's working.
You bet.
He's, yeah.
Going to AA, you know, as much as I can or when I have the time to go is a huge help.
Yeah.
He goes at the same time I do. Right. So, I mean, it's a great place that we go to.
We're
great guys and people that are involved there.
Right.
It's the motto with the Vets Treatment Court is that we leave no veteran behind.
Correct.
And it's the same thing that was beaten to your head when you were in boot camp as a Marine or basic training as a soldier. Ben's a Marine, I'm a soldier, my mentor was a Navy squid. So we're all brothers in arms, but we got each other's back.
Yeah.
And the Vets Treatment Court, the way I always looked at it was, as veterans, we all at least once in our lives gave something to somebody else, and we proved to other people we were capable of certain things. This treatment court is exactly like boot camp or basic training all over again. But now it's for the biggest war in your life as an alcoholic, and that is the never-ending battle against alcoholism. Yeah. But we're there for each other, and that's the way I view it.
And that's great, and I just so thank you for doing that. And Ben, I got a feeling you're going to be a mentor too someday to somebody. You know, it takes time, right? I mean,
it does.
But you sure seem like, you know, I mean, you sure seem awfully happy. You got Tara in your life now, and
you bet.
You know,
you bet. I got three little ones at home.
Okay.
So I got a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 10-year-old. So
that's good. Well, God bless you. That's awesome that's happening.
Who's tougher, Coach Nowak or this guy next to you?
I don't.
Right, depends on the day. But we talked. We had Chris Farley's brother on. We've been dealing with a little bit of addiction problems, and he just talked about, and it's kind of what Rich just said, how important the support network is. And he had it at SNL. I mean, They were great about it, but he went out to Hollywood. These agents were more interested in their money and less about their product, which was Chris Farley. So it's nice that you've got the drug treatment court, you've got your AA, but you've also got a great family. And it's, yeah, I think you're going to do great. I mean, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Love to have you guys back again. I think this is a really important subject for the people listening.
Oh, you bet.
Love
you
to. Bet. Thank you, guys. Thank you so very much. Yep. Best of luck to you. Thank you for your incredible, courageous service to our country as a member of the U.S. Marine Corps. Thank you, Ben. Mind of the Mayor, back right after this. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, coming your way from the beautiful City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay. And what's going to be another hot day, mid-80s up to 90. Packer camp will be sweltering.
10:30, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's going to be
fun. Had Rob Domofsky on yesterday. He said, man, training camp is so different than from the old days, as we'd say, full pads, 2 days, and now they get a lot of days off and things, which is great. I mean, the season is so long.
But he did also say that they're hitting harder than he's ever seen. That, well, not
just
camp,
in general.
In general, yeah.
Football players.
And there's a game on tonight, Johnny.
Yeah. I don't know where, though. I don't think it's... Is it regular TV? Everything is, like, weird now. Amazon and all these different things. Okay. It's the Jets and the Browns, the Hall of Fame game.
I just read it in the paper. I don't know. I won't watch
it. Well, the reason that Todd, who's filling in for Wheels, who once again is at the Wheelchair Softball World Series in Chicago. He's a Hall of Fame wheelchair softball player. He's an amazing athlete, and he's down there right now. So Todd, of course, is filling in.
He's filling in, and our producer, Jason, and his nickname is Wheels. Yes, he prefers that. He likes to be called Wheels, and he's been in the industry not as long as Todd. No one's been in the industry as long as Todd.
Maybe me. Todd just pointed at me.
Okay.
Todd's like, I'm not 70.
Wheels already sent us a text that
wishing
he's
us luck
ready.
With
and he's,
Todd. And by the way,
he's catching and then he's the relief pitcher. That's kind of cool because he'll save his arm.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's a great tennis player. He's an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
But anyway, the reason Todd played Revolution, which is very apropos, there's a reason. Because starting tonight right here on WGBW at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8, Rational Revolution is the name of the show. We have Kristen Alfheim. Did I pronounce that correct?
Pretty darn close.
It's I thought it was German. Alfheim.
Yeah. Alfheim. Is that ever
Norwegian?
It's very Norwegian.
Very Norwegian. And your co-host is Emily, and I'm going to try to pronounce her last name.
Sefos.
Sefos. Oh, the T is silent. Huh?
She's on.
Yes, we got her right here.
Oh, I didn't know.
That's why I was waiting for Emily to be on. Right. Hi, Emily.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning.
Say hello to Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Emily, have you been down to the studio? I know you're online and Kristen is here in the studio. Have you been to the
studio? I have. We checked it out last week.
Isn't it
a beautiful space.
Johnny's been in this business forever, and he said this is the nicest studio he's ever worked out of.
It's true.
And at Civic Media, who this is all new to me, I sure like Sage and Mike, the owners, but they have really treated us well. I mean, it's from the green room to everything.
Yeah, you guys will like it.
You're going to love it here. And so Civic Media, the kind of a startup company. When I said that, I said, you guys okay if I call you a startup? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. You know, they bought 18 stations in the last little over a year and a half. And, you know, their goal is to connect with the community because we've been missing a lot of that. I mean, we have a newspaper here that is really glossed over what's going on locally. And so much talk radio has gone extremely right or extremely left.
But you can't
say
that about Natalie, who we bring in.
What's that?
For the Press Gazette. Natalie's phenomenal.
Well, she's
covering
great.
Things like, do you guys know Natalie?
But
I know Natalie.
She lives here.
Yeah. And we have the Press.
She lives right here. You guys got to get her on your show.
Yeah, for sure.
But she's outstanding. You want to talk about having a finger
Johnny,
on the pulse.
What I'm saying is that, it's not all Natalie. She has a column. But
yeah.
What I'm saying is they haven't. I want to say that I get the Press Gazette every day, but it's not as much local as I would like to see.
Okay.
You know, and then but we do have the Press Times that you and I both subscribe to, and that's
but what
local.
You're saying. But I think what you're taking 20 minutes to say is that the market needs more community affair type programs.
At least I'm on subject. I'm not talking about Nagani.
Right.
Night crawl.
I just want to point out, I'm really glad to be in studio, really watching this happen.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
It's one thing to hear, it's another to watch.
We may go to video. But thanks for coming in.
Hey, when you your first words to him when you walked in, hey, Big Jim, was that because of his weight challenge?
That's just not true. That's
just it has nothing to do with it. I've known Mr. Jim here for a very long time.
But I just thought I was saying, oh, Big Jim.
Yes. No, it's like big in terms of like I've been around. I've helped. I've done some things. Yeah.
However you want to take it.
Now, Big John, that would be painfully obvious.
I'm working on that. Okay. I'm working on that. Right. So anyway, we've got Kristen and Emily, and they are starting a brand new show right here tonight at 7 o'clock, 7 to 8, Rational Revolution. Whichever one of you would like to take it and run with it and tell us a little bit about this, go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I'll start it out. This Emily and I sat together one day, and we're talking politics around a little cheap plastic table. We thought, you know what? It'd be fun to have a radio show. Because there are so many people that ask us, what does that mean? We say something, you know, in politically, and honestly, people don't understand how it affects them. And then they don't understand that it affects other people differently. So our entire goal on the show is to talk about things that matter to Northeastern Wisconsin families, and then to help to create some empathy that someone who lives on a farm in rural Northeastern Wisconsin may feel something differently than someone who lives downtown Appleton or downtown Green Bay. So we really want to look at issues from about a 3,000 view above it and try and catch all of the areas and actually have a discussion. People are dying to just talk and learn, and most are willing to listen given the opportunity with an open conversation.
And that's one thing Jim said too about we don't want one of those angry shows.
No.
That we don't want people just debating and yelling at each other, and your side is terrible, my side is the greatest. And it sounds like you guys are having that same philosophy going in.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No cussing, no swearing, just have a conversation.
Well, the other reason you don't want no cussing or swearing is you're going to get a $10,000 fine.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
That's valid.
The FCC
they don't tell us the rules. They don't tell us the rules. They just say, here's the mic and the headphones, go.
They told us, believe me, they told us the rules, and that's why we haven't had a caller yet.
We do all of our cussing fighting during the breaks, as you can see.
And do we?
I heard who you're asking for calls, those that understood who a lot lizard was. I'm not sure you want that.
That's a good point.
Emily, fire away before John starts talking again.
Yeah, go ahead, Emily.
Oh, no, I think I'm really excited as well, because I think the Fox Valley, with the razor thin margins that we see across the state, we are a microcosm of what Wisconsin looks like, in that when it comes to politics, we are typically more conservative here in the Fox Valley. But with changing times, changing issues that are important to people, we're seeing a shift toward the left. And it'll be interesting, I think, going forward to touch on all these issues that are affecting Wisconsinites when, like Kristen said, doing it in a way that is from that, you know, mile-high view, looking down, saying, okay, well, something that affects someone in Omro is different than what affects them in Cicero and, you know, all throughout the valley. So I'm really excited to, again, have those conversations. I think that too often we back into our corners. And that there's no room for growth or common ground. And so that's what we're seeking to do here.
All right. So Emily and Kristen, do you have some issues? You said you're going to talk about issues from the 30,000 foot level. What could a caller expect the issues to be?
Yeah, I think the issues, they never end. It's the daily activity. So we could talk healthcare. We could talk Supreme Court. We could talk revenue sharing. We can talk education. There's really no topic that shouldn't be talked about from a 360 view right now, because everybody has an opinion. And again, most civilized people, if they're given more information, they may add to their opinion or adjust it mildly. Our goal is to give them the full story.
And you've been in politics.
No.
Well, a little bit. So which part of that are you bringing to your show that, you know, people might have a conception of politicians, how they are, whatever. What barrier are you going to pretty much break down and say, yeah, I've been in politics, but this is me?
Yeah. So, you know, I have a job in real life. I deal with money and retirees and all kinds of things, estate planning. But in real life, for the last 15 years, I've been involved as a voluntary advocate. So I would spend time in Madison and D.C. for two different groups. One was loved by the red and one was loved by the blue. So I very quickly learned that if I were to get any time with someone on a civilized conversation, I better understand what we had in common. And so my practice has been creating civilized dialogue so we can move forward together. Then with COVID hitting, the advocacy in D.C. slowed down. So there was an opportunity on city council. And I joined city council as an independent. I didn't actually even understand how the political world worked. I made some signs. I answered some questionnaires. And I won with about 73%. And since then, I now understand there's a lot more politics that go on. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. But the reality is most people don't truly understand how local or state or federal politics actually affect their dining room table. They just know what they've heard. So our goal is to make sure that they hear everything that they need to so that they can make a rational choice.
I like that.
Makes sense. And I think people know more than you're giving them credit for. They, we always talk about... there's no Republican Democrat way to pick up garbage. you know, we're what the decisions that are made locally affect your pocketbook a lot more than the decisions that are made federally. And and I know that and one of our concerns, Emily, was that and one of the reasons I think Sage reached out to us was we've just lost that. People are hungry for that information and they want to know more about the local economy, the local business opportunities, the local environment.
And they don't want just preaching to the choir.
Right. Can I assume your show is going to be pretty heavy calling?
We're hoping that's the case. That's the goal, I think, because we do want to hear, we know that we can't adequately express what's most impacting for people across the valley and the state. And so we are hoping to get differing voices and hear from different people that are speaking to their lived experience so that we can all better understand what that impact is.
Great.
That ambulance wasn't coming for us. It went through.
Yeah, the ambulance went by. Don't worry, John and I. We have been munching on, I'm going to leave this for you, with some chocolate-covered pretzel sticks. Somebody dropped those off for us. I know, right? We don't need it, but we love them, so we're eating them. But
Mark's safe
all right,
from
well,
the
if
first
you're any
ambulance.
Crunching tonight, it's because we're enjoying them.
Okay, good. All right.
They're enjoying listening to you munch on them.
Right.
Yeah.
But I hear Trenary toast.
Do we what?
Have you ever heard of Trenary toast?
They haven't.
I did hear it mentioned earlier.
Right.
Okay.
That's the only time she heard of it. Hey, but I want to get back to, are you serving up an issue tonight, or is it just going to be, I don't know how many people are engaged yet with civic media, right? I mean, we've been growing and our numbers look really good. And we're obviously promoting your show for tonight. But do you have something in mind? And you must come here with a little bit of an agenda in terms of like, you want to talk about the environment tonight? You want to talk about, or are you just going to open it up to whatever?
Emily, go ahead. You're in charge.
Okay. I think we have a list of things that that are relevant and timely right now. I think that with the investiture of Justice Protasiewicz, there's something to be said about the Supreme Court and what that will look like for the state going forward because with it being the most expensive court race in the nation's history. There's a lot of eyes on what's going to happen next. And that petition that was filed yesterday regarding our maps. So we're kind of looking at Supreme Court. We're looking at maps and just giving a little bit more information and background and history. And of course, introducing ourselves and who we are and why we think being a part of the conversation in the Valley is so important.
Okay. I got to say with the Supreme Court thing, we were talking about this, Jim, a couple of months ago, was that the worst concession speech you'd ever heard?
Well, oh my goodness.
What was that?
I'm not sure that was a concession speech.
However, I'm not defending, I just you guys, and I've been asked about that a lot. And Johnny and I did talk about, we actually talked about it with Sage and Mike.
Yeah.
Because it was right after that we were down there interviewing.
And they're from Madison, so they're part of that.
Right.
In the middle of it.
All I said was, a good politician can't say everything they're thinking. And I think, I think he really felt that.
Of course.
And I think, I don't know, I've been very fortunate in my political life, 10-0. But I just think if you would lose to say something, but you can't, because you never know, you might want to run again. You've got a lot of people who give you a lot of money and a lot of time, and you got to just thank them. That's why you're there.
Yeah.
Win or lose, thank the people who supported you, and you got to get behind the winner. You have to. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were laughing about
Hey, go ahead, Emily.
Wait. Oh, no, civility, right, that we're talking about in politics
right.
that no longer exists, and we're trying to get back to that place. But yeah, I think that Daniel Kelly's non-concession speech was a case study in what not to do as a politician.
Right. Yeah,
I couldn't agree more with that.
Well, it's kind of like too the thing that's going on in football right now about Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos,
right.
where he had that big thing about the former coach here, worst coaching job in history, blah blah blah. It's like there's kind of a code if you're going to be in that field. There's a kind of a line.
Was it necessary?
Exactly.
No. Isn't it? Like professional courtesy. I mean,
yes,
just come on.
Exactly.
You know, it's just, and people really don't care. Like, even if you say, well, you know, this city's a mess because of the last guy, they're like, he's gone. You know,
right.
you're here. And
you're basically putting yourself, you're giving yourself a safety net where if things don't go well in your realm, you say, yeah, well, look what I inherited, right?
I have a saying, it's tuck your inner jerk.
Oh, just I like that.
Tuck your inner jerk.
Although I have to say this, he can talk so nice right now, but he's 10-0, as he mentioned. He's never lost an election. I'd kind of like to see what it'd be like if he did lose one.
No, you wouldn't.
Because I know how feisty you are. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't throw too many stones, Mr. Glasshouse. I'm being honest. We got to set a quick break. We'll be back with more talk with a brand new show starting here on WGBW tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be back with more right after this. I could just sit and listen to our bumper music all day.
Right, but we're talk radio. They don't let us do that. But both you and Jason, Todd, great music selections,
great
aren't they?
Great selections.
I mean, every time it's like he doesn't give us the finger. He gives us a index.
What?
Index wave.
Versus Rob Demoff.
Right, who gave you the finger. Right. That's true. But yeah. Sometimes we don't start talking right away.
Because we want to listen to music.
Right.
You know what you always talk about, I've been in the business for 40 years or whatever. And that's true. Actually over 40 years. But I was never a regular DJ. You know what I mean?
You didn't spin records?
No, I never did.
Well.
And I went to a little school for that when I was in high school, actually, to WJPD, Lane Dawson School of Broadcasting. Hmm. And in little Ishpeming, Michigan. And I got to do like one show. That was like your final thing. And you got to play. It was hard though. It's so much easier now, isn't it, Todd?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, did you ever do it when you actually had to play the records?
Cue up the records, the reel-to-reels, you know.
You hold the record by your finger, with the finger, kind of like.
And then you back it around.
And you back it around. So you know how much lead time you had.
Back in the 50s, that's great, John.
It wasn't that long. This was 70s.
Oh, okay.
This was 80s.
80s.
I started in 90, and we were still using them.
You have no idea how dexterity you needed to be a disc jockey back in those days.
And bladder space.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, we'd go back, I remember with the old WNFL studios, we went to the back, when they closed it down, remember, Todd? And we went in and they had a bunch of the old albums from back in the day. And the albums that have written like bathroom song, 6 minutes or
so.
So back in those days.
A lot more digital.
But I think I would have been a good regular DJ though, don't you?
Hey,
good morning, Bottom of the Mirror. Come on, next. Uriah Heep.
You would talk, that song would be over by the time you shut up. So we have a new show starting here on Civic Media has a great lineup. Starts the morning with John and I and with Mine on the Mayor, and it goes on throughout the day. And a new show that's going to be launched this evening.
Tonight,
here,
7 out of o'clock.
Out of the Green Bay studio, out of WGBW, which is, of course, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM.
Kristen and show, Emily.
Right. Emily and Chris, and the name of the show is
Rational Revolution,
and they are going to have, it can be more heavily a call-in show, but just talk about issues that people want to talk about, and there's not a good venue for that, and it's not going to be this, well, you got to be extreme right and beat up on this group, or extreme left and beat up on those guys. This is going to be just a community conversation about issues that people want to talk about, and I think people will be a little bit more up for that in the evening, right, Johnny?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's one thing we don't want. 6 a.m, we start. You don't want angry radio six in the morning.
And people, they don't have time to call in at 6 a.m. They're getting ready. They're getting their kids ready, or they're shaving, or whatever. We talk about that. And or they're driving. But I will tell you, so and Emily hasn't been here, but so they built this green room, right, where you put your guests, and it's very nice. It's flat screen TV.
Help yourself to all our snacks.
But
there's
some
water. There's a little bit of scotch, not much left.
There's some scotch.
I noticed the bourbon is gone.
Yeah.
But they brought that in, and then they said, I was talking to one of the executive guys, and he's like, oh, you got beer in there? And I'm like, shows at 6 a.m. Well, I'll get some beer. So we did. So there's beer in there. We haven't drank it yet. I don't know. John might
we
have.
We have not. No, have
we
not.
Haven't? Okay, good for you. But you guys are welcome to that.
It's too high class. I drink Busch Light.
It is good beer. But you guys, well, help yourself to everything and anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, Emily. Together.
Oh, no, I was just commenting on the Busch Light. That's all.
Oh, do you like it too? Are you a Busch Light? Yeah, me too. Yes. You buy for like $5 a six
you
pack
sound,
on sale.
She sounds classier than Busch Light. But all right. I'm
just going to point out she also has a very nice bourbon selection.
Okay.
Oh, really? I don't want to miss this.
Is it amazing how expensive some bourbon is?
Bourbon's crazy. $100.
Yes.
$100 is nothing.
Yeah.
We had to stop buying because our tray of bottles is full. I said, stop then.
Well, are you one of those collectors, though? Because that's a big collectible thing right now.
Well, collect to enjoy.
We had a bottle of... Van Winkle?
Oh, yeah. I've had Pappy.
$1,200.
Yeah.
It went for at the auction. Yeah. $1,200 for a bottle of bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Stop buying. It's just the way to stop buying is stop drinking.
I did buy it. Believe me. Holy cow.
The thing is sipping. You have to sip.
Yeah, I know.
But it's... And maybe just one. It's an option.
We talked about that.
Well, you know, control issues.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys, your show, tell us,
every
Thursday. Thursday shows up every week on the calendar, I promise. And we will be here from 7 to 8.
All right. Great.
Yep.
It's going to be fun to listen to you guys. And like I said, you know, I think people are very interested in this and we will help promote it. And in return, John, we want them to say after they go to bed to wake up and listen to...
Yes, Mine on the Mayor. Right. No, I'm sure they'll do
love
that.
It. We'll do.
Just in case you haven't had enough coffee, tune in to Mine on the Mayor. They will wake you up, I assure you.
We do start off running, I will say that.
You come in hot.
We love our listeners. And
why does it sound like somebody's backing up in our...
Listen, Emily is a hardworking mother of three who does everything. She has more plates spinning in the air by 7 a.m. than most of us do.
I know.
I was going to say, I'm driving my three children to their doctor's appointments before school starts.
So got it.
There you go. Get that done. It's that time of year.
And you know what? It's good to have that perspective, too, of a mom of little kids type thing. So that's right. I was just with my daughter and her three little girls in Madison all weekend, and it's a whole different world.
Oh, my God.
It's a different world.
It's a different
people
world.
People don't... That is an unbelievable world. Not just the responsibility, but the effort to raise one kid, and then you get two, and then three, and it's like you got to play zone, and the demands. And my wife would go on a retreat every year, and she would, we'd have the breast milk there, and I would have to take care... I couldn't wait till she came home.
Absolutely.
I mean, Johnny, you wouldn't believe. It was 2 days. It seemed like 2 weeks. Yeah. It was, oh, my God. I'm just like, I'm so glad you're here. And then the kids would be like, when they got a little bit older, like 4 or 5, and the dog would be barking when she came home, like, oh, God, she's coming back. And and then my kids would be like, Mom, we didn't eat all weekend. I'm like, that's not true. You didn't eat what you wanted, but it was, anyway, God bless you for doing that.
By the way, you know what he eats for snacks in the middle of the night? Cold brats.
I've been there. Don't knock that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do not knock that. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You gotta draw the line somewhere.
Cold.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely true.
See, this is why we bring this guy from Nagani, Michigan, which is like should be its own country.
I actually looked for one last night. I'm not kidding. I looked for one last night.
I love.
All right. You know what? When I'm not here, I think you got your new.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Right. Sage said we had to give a backup when we're out. So Johnny's got his backup. We obviously Jason has a great backup with Todd. He's a
Emily. Where are you on cold brats?
I mean, I don't know that I've never tried it.
Oh, Emily. All right.
I'm
willing to try it. Have it with a Busch Light. I'm sure it'll be delicious.
Okay. One other quick question for you. We're running out of time, but one more quick question. Soup with soggy bread in it, yes or no? I say no.
Nope.
Thank you.
Okay, no, just
Emily.
The way
he 100%.
100%. What? Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
That's Emily.
It's
I like.
It's a dip and go. Dip and go, not soggy.
But
dip and go.
See, that's
French onion. Do you want French onion soup with a piece of soggy bread in it? Yes or no?
Nope.
Emily.
I do. But
you do.
Emily,
okay.
Emily,
I'm the moderate. I'll blend with the
No, I'm not sure I like Emily anymore.
No, you listen how John teased it up.
I was a big fan, and now it's just...
John framed stuff, soggy bread. Why don't you say with toasted croutons?
That's different. I'd say yes to that.
See?
So would I.
But no, it's not soggy bread. Thing. It's a toasted crouton.
Trinary toast.
Not the same at all. Okay. No, not at all.
If it's not the way you think, then it's not.
We're going to have dueling shows one day.
All right.
Best of luck tonight, 7 o'clock, folks.
Thank you, guys.
Tune in.
97.9. Emily, thank you. Mr. Merrill, see you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, Jerry.
Thanks, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning. My name is Mayor. See you.